Today's scripture comes from Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your hearts keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good rapture in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all you produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves the ones he loves and the father the son in whom he delights. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Well, as we all know, today is Father's Day. Come to think of it, this is probably the first Father's Day that I've ever preached here at Bethel Church, because annual conference is usually the week before Father's Day, and we usually take that next week off. So I can't remember preaching a Father's Day in several years. But I'm glad that we're here on this Father's Day. The last Father's Day will be with you here as your pastor here at Bethel Church. But speaking of fathers, I want to thank all of you for sharing your father's blessings and stories that you wrote to me. Many of you wrote, I must have had a couple of dozen at least, people who shared with me one or two things about their dads, and I appreciate that very, very much. It was very helpful in helping me put my thoughts together, because now if you'll indulge me, I want to share just a few things about my dad with you on this Father's Day. I had a slide put up. That's my dad there through various stages of his life. My dad, whose name was Walt, John Walter Duncan, his name was Walt, and died at the ripe old age of 57. I've actually outlived my father. In 1994, he died right across the street there at BB Hospital, of esophageal cancer. And my dad, like yours, I'm sure, worked hard all of his life. Dad, as a young man, worked in a sheet metal, Tingle sheet metal down in Selbyville, and did a lot of welding and such. And then he went on to be a chicken plant worker, and then ultimately an engineer. And I use the term engineer in quotations because Dad only went to the ninth grade. And yet, everybody at the plant considered him the plant engineer. He knew that plant like the backside of his hand, and he probably rebuilt that whole chicken plant mechanism five or six times in his 30 years there at Mount Air, which was formerly H&H Poultry, for some of you folks that remember the Peppers. After he died, in recognition of his dedicated service to Mount Air, they set up a little garden there next to the engineering office and next to the fence that Dad engineered and had built. It was a fence that was about 20 feet high, very decorative. It's still there today, and it separates the trucking, where the trucks come in and offload the chickens from the community, which was right there in the middle of Selbyville. And a lot of times when I'm going through Selbyville on Duke Street, I'll slide by and look at that beautiful bronze plaque that they put there in memory of my dad amongst the azaleas and the beautiful fauna that they have there in that little corner next to the fence that he built. And I appreciated them doing that for my dad. I guess he's where I get my work ethic from. Dad worked hard, as I said, and very long hours. Dad was always there to provide for our every need, although he worked late hours sometimes. But he was there most of the time for special events. I specifically remember one time when Daddy worked hard all day, and I had to be in Wilmington at like 7 o'clock one night, so he had to take off work early, because most of the time he didn't get home till 7 o'clock. Him and Mom drove me to Wilmington. I can remember it just like it was yesterday. It was a place called the Red Barn up there on Kirkwood Highway somewhere. And it was a school meeting. He had to drive 2 hours to get there, had to wait for me to go through this stupid meeting for 2 hours, and then drive 2 hours home back to Selbyville. But Dad did that for me because he knew how important this meeting was and how much he, you know, knew that I was, you know, doing so well in the organization and so forth. So I appreciated that. Like your dad, I'm sure, my dad was my hero. He was my little league coach. He was my scoutmaster. Taught me how to surf fish. I guess that's why I love surf fishing so much today, and all kinds of fishing. He taught me how to change the oil in the car. He told me one time. He said, "Son, if you always check the oil, you'll never run out of gas." It took me a while to understand what that meant, but I guess that meant regular maintenance. You never have to worry about the gas, something like that. Whenever I got hurt, though, he was the kind of dad that said, "Get up, walk it off, rub some dirt on it, you'll be all right." But he's the same dad that would not be above sitting down with my little sister and play princess with her or play tea party with her. He loved stock car racing when stock car racing was really big here back in the 80s and early 90s. And he loved traveling with Mom in their camper trailer, didn't they, babe, many places around the area. Now, Dad wasn't much of a churchgoer. He was not the spiritual leader in our home. Our mother was. Although he would go to Christmas pageants, and he'd go to the Easter programs and so forth and support us. We lived right across the street for many years from the church that we attended. He didn't go to church regularly until later in life when he started going to church with Mom, which delighted Mother so much to have her husband to attend church with her. Dad did give his life to the Lord eventually. He did get sick shortly thereafter. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that Dad knew his eternal destiny. And when he slipped from the bounds of earth, he went to be immediately to the loving arms of his Heavenly Father in April the 12th, I believe, in 1994. Dad gave us a lot of good memories, as I'm sure you have memories of your dad if he's no longer with you. Good memories, except for those times when we got whippings that I'm sure that my brother and sister deserved, and I deserved. I can still hear that belt coming through those loops. Dad was a good role model, a good father, a good husband, a man of integrity, I would say, hardworking man, role model. Now, what I'm about to share with you may seem a bit sexist, and I apologize for that right up front, but this is Father's Day, and I'm addressing specifically fathers, but yet there are still things in this scripture that Ray read for us and the scripture that I've chosen for today that applies to everyone, but I'm specifically, in a sense, speaking to the fathers, the men among us today as well. So here we go. There have been a lot of books written about how to do a lot of different things. You know those how-to books. There's like rows and rows and rows of them at Barnes & Noble in the bookstores. How to do this, how to do that. Well, there's also a recent bestseller by Brent and Kate McKay about how to be a manly man. How to be a man, a real man. The title of the book is The Art of Manliness, Classic Skills and Manners for the Modern Man. And the McKays give in this book some great insights on how to help men be real men, which seems to be diminishing in our culture these days. Men are forgetting what it means to be a man and how to be a real man, a man's man, a manly man, if you will. For example, in the introduction, they list the characteristics of a real man. Listen to this. A real man looks out for and takes care of his family and his friends. A real man does the right thing, even when nobody's looking. A real man treats women with respect and honor. A real man gives back to the community. Real men work hard and rarely complain. And on and on and on the book goes. Again, many of these things, they draw from men like Benjamin Franklin and Theodore Roosevelt. I've read one, you know, how to shave properly, guys. How to do some of the things that we take for granted that have been kind of like lost in our culture today. How to tie a necktie. All you guys know how to tie a Windsor knot? Maybe not. Maybe so. Okay, that's the kind of stuff that they teach in this book. Anyway, I digress. But how-to books are nothing new. Today, take today's text, for example, from the book of wisdom called Proverbs, and specifically chapter 3 today. Here we find the writer, a father, instructing his son. And today, each of us, man or woman, some godly wisdom on how to be a godly man or a godly woman. That's the title of my message today, How to Be a Godly Man and Godly Woman. Well, I think the third chapter of Proverbs is a great way to start this conversation. So what does it mean to be godly? That's a term that we kind of think, being godly, that's kind of like holy, isn't it? It's kind of high and mighty. It has a kind of a pious ring to it. Well, guess what? To be a godly man or a godly woman simply is one who walks closely with the Lord. That's it. One who walks closely with God. And I thought it would be appropriate here on Father's Day to hear what God has to say about these things and perhaps help us all come away with a few things that all of us, male or female, man or woman, mother or dad, can say amen to. So here we go. First, the father in this text says to his son that to walk closely with God, one needs to be loyal and faithful. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and with all people. You see, at the core of the Hebrew faith is something called hesed, H-E-S-E-D. That's a Hebrew term for the steadfast loyalty and faithfulness of God. It's the kind of faithful love that God has for each and every one of us that's unrelenting and pursuing, and never gives up on us, constantly seeking relationship with all people. A godly person, therefore, is one who's been transformed from the inside out by the hesed of God, the faithfulness, the steadfast love of God, and lives his or her life with faithful, unconditional love for others, beginning with one's own family. Godliness, therefore, is a God-formed integrity, a divine inspiration that makes one quick to forgive and always seeking reconciliation. It means being the kind of husband or wife or friend who refuses to run, but out of loyalty and faithfulness to God and others, sticks with the relationship to help make it work, to heal it. Loyalty and faithfulness, a sign of godliness. Secondly, the godly person is humble. A godly person is humble. The Father says in verses 5 through 8, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Now this may sound oversimplified, but a key skill for the godly person is to acknowledge that he or she does not have all the answers. Amen? I'm counting all that as a new district superintendent. They're going to be calling me for answers, and guess what? This newbie is not going to have all the answers right away, but hopefully I'll know where to find them. Godly people are well aware of their limitations, and they don't just submit themselves to the wisdom of others, they submit themselves to the wisdom of God. Godliness means that we acknowledge God through prayer, spending time with God in prayer, where we humbly make our needs known to God. The godly person means that it is one who studies the Scriptures, who spends time in the Word, in God's Word. This is where we meet God the most, seek God the most, and seek God's face to face, and submit ourselves to the truths and principles contained within the Holy Scriptures. A godly person practices repentance whenever necessary. It's turning away from the sins that we know interfere with our relationship with God, turning away from the idols and toward the love and wisdom of God in Christ instead. Thirdly, This wise father instructs his son in something near and dear to all of our hearts, material things and stewardship. Most of us put far, far too much importance on things, don't we? On accumulating material things, accumulating money and so forth. We worry too much about small stuff. Guess what? In the grand picture and grand scheme of things, it's all small stuff, really, when you stop and think about it. The godly are those who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, strive to reverse the effects of materialism. And the godly have discovered the joy of being generous, of being cheerful in their giving. The father tells the son, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Here is the principle of tithing, giving the first fruits, giving unto God that 10% or that proportion that belongs to God. And God promises to bless our giving. Finally, this writer gives us one more description of the godliness that's appropriate for Father's Day today. The godly man or woman realizes that God is the one doing the molding and the shaping of our lives, even to the point of correcting them. Even to the point of correcting. Look at what it says in verse 12. The Lord reproves, that is, disciplines, the one he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. You see, the godly man or the godly woman embraces and does not despise God's divine correction. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly don't like to be disciplined. I don't like to be corrected. I never enjoyed getting that occasional whooping from my dad, but I knew that probably had done something stupid or wrong and deserved it. As much as we'd like to live our lives by our own rules and do things our way, my way, without consequence or correction, it simply does not work that way in the family, in the kingdom of God. Through faith in Jesus Christ, who has forgiven us, who suffered for us, and who redeemed us and reconciled us to God, we've been brought into the family of God, and as such, we have a heavenly Father. And like any good father, are you listening? Like any good father, he gets a say in how we live our lives. And yes, God will discipline us from time to time. Just like you fathers and mothers have disciplined your children from time to time. Have you not? I hope you have. I hope you've had to discipline your children as you were disciplined when you were one. Notice I did not say punish us. God does not punish us. He corrects us. He disciplines us. There is a huge difference between correction, discipline, and punishment. Godly people won't hold this against God, but see it as evidence of the parental love that God has for all his children. God is not cruel when he disciplines us. In fact, it would be cruel if God left us to our own devices. God is at work in our struggles, using them as a refiner uses fire to refine the metal, or as a potter molds and shapes and beats the clay into shape. He's working through our brokenness. He's working through our repentance to bring us back to his word, his ways, bring us back to his son, Jesus Christ. As part of God's family, the godly man or woman realizes that there is purpose in pain. He realizes that this is not punishment and that very often God will allow us to hit rock bottom. Yes, sometimes we have to bottom out. Sometimes we have to come to the end of ourselves to hit the rock at the bottom of the pit. But guess what? And I love this. God is the rock at the bottom of the pit. God is our rock and our fortress, our mighty fortress. There at the bottom, at the end of ourselves. Now, is all this easy to do? Of course not. But I'm thankful that, like many of my college and seminary courses that I took years ago, God grades on a curve. Aren't you glad of that? Choosing instead to see us in light of what Christ did for us on the cross. Okay. In the closing minutes I have this morning, I want to talk to you dads. Dads, are you listening? Say amen. Okay, dads. Thank you for loving your children. Thank you for being here in church, knowing that most men do not attend church. Did you know that? The majority of church folk are women. So I'm proud of you for being here. Thank you for loving your children. Thank you for loving your wives as Christ loved the church. You deserve a break today. Isn't that a commercial? You deserve a day for yourselves. A day to do whatever you want. Even if it means falling asleep in your big old man chair, in your big old man cave, if you have a man cave, with the remote in your hand and a big old bag of Doritos on your belly. Go ahead, dads. Take the day off. Enjoy your family and your time. Ladies, are you listening? Say amen. Amen. And the rest of you, be encouraged in your walk with the Lord. Be encouraged. Do the things that we've talked about here, God has shown us today. Pursue godliness. Be people of unconditional love. This goes for you dads too, don't get me wrong. Pursue unconditional love, loyalty, faithfulness, humility. Be the kind of people who are good stewards of God's many, many blessings. And don't despise God's correction when it comes. And I'm convinced that if you begin to work on these things, begin today, right now, you'll make your heavenly Father smile and be mighty, mighty proud of you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this message. And of all people, I needed to hear this. I need to internalize this. And I need to work on these things myself, O God. But this is a word for your people today. And I pray, Father, that we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will take these things to heart. We'll ponder them in our heart and put them into practice right away. Thank you for your instruction, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your word. Most of all, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we ask and pray this prayer. And all God's people said, amen and amen.